Brothers and sisters, as Elihu mentioned God's absolute sovereignty and majesty, he spoke as if God used thunder, lightning, and flood as instruments of judgment upon people. Such cases are very rare, and all natural phenomena, including thunder and lightning, occur within God's love. The Creator God created all things in order and ensured that the laws of nature operate in magnificent and harmonious ways. However, as human civilization has advanced, we have severely polluted the environment, disrupting the laws of nature. As a result, abnormal weather patterns have emerged worldwide, and natural disasters such as droughts, floods, and typhoons occur more frequently. But there are people who do not seek God in their daily lives, but place the blame on Him in the face of a natural disaster. Blaming God is truly foolish and unhelpful in solving problems. God is earnestly waiting for such ignorant man to return to Him. As those who've already received the grace of salvation, we must diligently spread the gospel so others may also believe in God the Creator and be saved. Romans chapter 10 verse 14 states, "How then are they to call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher?" Therefore, I pray in the name of the Lord that today's message will lead you to gain a deeper understanding of God's will and love and become blessed saints who spread His word more widely. Elihu kept on explaining to Job the absolute sovereignty and majesty of God. Chapter 73, verse 6 says, "For He says to the wind, snow, fall on the earth, and to the downpour, and the rain, be strong." Here, Elihu declares that with just a word, God commands snow to fall on the earth and brings gentle or heavy rain. Namely, He is such a majestic one. Elihu then said in chapter 37, verse 7, "He seals the hand of every person so that all people may know His work." The phrase, "He seals the hand of every person," means that God causes people to become helpless like their hands are tied. And the reason He does this is so that all people may know His work. Namely, it is to let all men on the earth recognize His omnipotence. This spoke of God's absolute sovereignty in relation to thunder and lightning mentioned earlier. Elihu implied that God punishes the wicked through thunder and lightning and at times brings floods. He argues that even if people suffer loss due to these disasters, they are helpless before God's immense power. Ultimately, what Elihu intended to say to Job was, if God, in His sovereignty, chooses to strike a person, there is nothing they can do about it. You too have been struck because of your wickedness. So why do you complain? You'd better humble yourself before God and repent. Elihu asserted that God used thunder, lightning, snow, and rain as instruments of discipline, explaining God's absolute sovereignty. Elihu questioned why Job dared to oppose such a majestic God. However, how could such words benefit Job in any way? Job had argued against God, claiming that although he was good and righteous, he had been stricken without cause. Yet Elihu insisted on labeling him as wicked and sinful, which only provoked Job's anger further. These are common in our daily lives, especially among spouses, husband and wife. The position of Elihu and Job, they were like speaking to the wall. Elihu tried to awaken Job using many figurative expressions. And furthermore, he talked about God's dignity and sovereignty, talking about all nature, talking about all natural phenomena. But he intended to say, Job, because of your sin, you are suffering. That was his point. But Job didn't consider himself sinful. And he thought that his friends were not righteous, and he couldn't listen to his friends because their positions were very different. Even though one tried to awaken another using many figurative expressions, but the other person didn't understand it at all. Such conversations in your social life, you have to keep this in mind. If you keep on trying to awaken another person, that doesn't mean you can change another person's thought. I talk about this a lot. You shouldn't try to change another person. As you talk, you may try to change another person, but then you will harbor ill feelings. It is only God's help. You can change another person. But in order to make God change that person, you should first become righteous and good. Then God will cause people to change, especially you. For example, your wife does not attend church and you want her to attend church. You talk about God's power and your wife rejects your word. Even though we talk about God's works happening through prayer, some people may wonder, thinking that it is a coincidence or the symptoms would recur. Even though people who don't try to believe, no matter how much we try to share the God's power, they reject, they refuse to believe. They say that we are trying to deceive them. As we try to share the gospel, as we may harbor ill feelings, we may raise our voice. You may say things like, you will go to hell if you do that. Because another person refused to believe, we feel upset. This is ill feelings. And you will go to hell. It is a curse. Then the Holy Spirit cannot work for us. God cannot work for us. Then how can we make another person, inspire another person to open the heart? We first have to please God. Then people who haven't opened the door to their heart, people who are around us, when we intercede for them, God will help them. As our prayers piled up, as God acknowledges our prayer as the prayer of righteous person, God will answer us. But if you get angry, if you show irritation, if you cannot give out the arm of Christ, you cannot open other people's heart. It's like Job and his friend speaking to the wall. You cannot change another person. You have to also admit that such things are in you, and you try not to change other people. First, you have to become the light. You have to set a good example. You have to change yourself into goodness and love, and then God would acknowledge your prayer as a prayer of righteousness, and God will cause other people to change.
Yes.
Additionally, Elihu misunderstood God, considered his thoughts right, and asserted them before Job. While it is true that natural phenomena such as thunder, lightning, heavy rain, droughts, and tsunamis are beyond human control, the claim that God uses these to demonstrate His almightiness is incorrect. These events occur according to the natural order God established in the beginning. How could God deliberately cause people damage to assert His majesty? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, "So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" There is no way that God, who wants to give us good things, would intentionally cause natural disasters to inflict suffering upon people. The judgment of flood in Noah's time was an exceptional case. It was under the providence of God. But this is a very rare case, exceptional case. And giving a rainbow as a sign of His covenant, God promised never to destroy the world by water again. Yet many people misunderstand this loving God. God showed such rainbows as a sign of Him being with us. We are looking at the sky and we are seeing, have filmed many various shapes of rainbows. As I talked about the eyes of Jesus, He always looked up to heaven. And you can also look for rainbows, film the rainbows, and you rejoice over those rainbows. Rainbows are also natural phenomenon, but such using rainbows are not just a natural phenomenon for us, but God shows us extraordinary rainbows. God uses such natural phenomena to make us happy, make us rejoice through extraordinary events. Dragonflies eat harmful insects, but they are afraid of people. It's difficult for us to catch dragonflies, but for us, dragonflies appear at our church events to remove harmful insects. God sends us swarms of dragonflies. Even though there are natural phenomena and providence of nature, but God shows us such wonders. But Elihu was misunderstanding God. For example, when natural disasters occur, we often see, you again see those dragonflies. Let's talk about it more. Dragonflies sit on different parts of man's body. Such things are, before we seen those things happening in our church, as for me, I didn't experience it myself. I think most of you haven't. Even though you may have, every summer, we have those experiences. This is something unimaginable. When I think about my childhood, I desperately tried to catch a dragonfly. We learned that dragonflies has many eyes. I tried to catch a dragonfly, but it was never easy. But they sit on our faces, even faces of our infant. We had interesting, amazing experiences with dragonflies, such wondrous wonder and works. These are God's love. But some people misunderstand it. Some people say that these things can happen Of course, there are some extraordinary things happening in the world sometimes. Some people don't take it seriously. Then this is ignoring God. This is regrettable. We have to live a God-centered life. We have to seek God, look for God in our life. But Elihu pretended to look like he admitted God, but he was actually misunderstanding God. There are many people of this kind, even unbelievers, when they face natural disaster, they blame and resent God. But God meant for the order of nature to be maintained in creating the world. The earth rotates itself and revolves around the sun, causing the cycles of day and night and the change of seasons. Spring, summer, fall, and winter repeat in a cycle, bringing variations in temperature. People sow and reap following the laws of nature. The moon's gravitational pull causes ocean tides, enabling marine life to thrive. God made the laws of nature. It happens in His order. Everything is being operated that way. The directions of the north, south, east, and west, the rising and setting of the sun and the moon, and all seasonal weather changes are part of the order established by God. The entire universe was created for 6 days according to His order. Unlike other animals, humans were created with the ability to walk upright and freely observe all directions. God has allowed them to govern and rule over everything on the earth as the Lord of all creation. Yet, they often bring damage upon themselves due to their unwise choices. For instance, people can choose to build homes near the seashore or hazardous areas. The damage caused by such decisions is their own responsibility, not a reason to blame God. While even animals instinctively find safe places to avoid danger, if humans, as the Lord of all creation, choose to live in these places and blame God for damage, this is totally inappropriate. As the Lord of all creation, humans are meant to be wiser than animals. However, by turning away from God, the origin of all wisdom, they show such foolishness. Elihu also wrongly asserted that God sealed people's hands and showed His majesty through natural disasters. But God doesn't do things in such a forceful manner. When God created the world and formed man, He granted him free will, allowing him to make his own choices. Because God wants people to believe in Him out of their free will, He is cultivating them. If He had wanted them to obey Him grudgingly, He would not have needed to create humans at all. Through natural disasters, if God tries to frighten people through natural disasters, some people say, God can show fire and light a rattle with fire, I am God, and frighten people. But God doesn't cultivate human beings that way. This is like a forceful thing. He doesn't work that way. He didn't even need to create human beings. Heavenly hosts and angels, they just obey Him unconditionally. They respect Him, and they just live according to His command. And they only respect and serve Him. They don't make troubles. But God has a purpose of cultivating humans. He created men, giving them free will. He gave them free will to choose on their own. And when they choose God's will on their own, God is pleased. Men have their own thoughts, and they see the nature and realize that God is living and God is healing people, and they believe that there is heaven and hell. And in order to go to hell, I have to live by the word of God. And all God's words are correct. All God's words are good. I have to live by the word. As we open the door to our heart, we believe in the Lord and Holy Spirit. And as we pray, and we completely believe in God's word, we love God more and more day after day. God wants such children who choose on their own to obey Him, because God wants such people. God planted the tree of the knowledge and began the human cultivation. But if God just sends disasters to force people to believe in Him, it's wrong. Elihu's thoughts were misunderstanding. However, God desires two children, people who voluntarily choose truth, goodness, and love through the human cultivation and recovery image. That's why He waits and endures for long. When in your daily life, you may think, God could have prevented this from happening, prevented this disaster from happening. You may have such thoughts. And you ask God to guide your steps, guide your way. But God wants children who chooses to do His will on this. If God just prevents people from sinning, you may think it will be good, but this is not human cultivation. If you have sinful nature, if you commit sin, you have to repent and you have to resolve never to commit sin. You realize how distressful sins are, how evil sins are. You detest sins and evil. You deeply realize it and you begin to live in the truth and light. Even though you broke God's heart by sinning, but you come forth as right. This is not in your own free will. You make your choice. You shouldn't wonder why God didn't prevent the disaster. In your prayer, you can ask God to help not to commit sin. And you have to help people, help God to not to commit sin. But you have to first live a life of obedience, then God will guide you as you live, as you please, and then you ask God to help you in prayer, then this is a lie. That's why many Christians fail to receive God's help. They don't realize the laws of the spiritual realm. Through the human cultivation, God wants us to choose on our own with our free will. You have to understand these things well as you look at the nature. Elihu had a misunderstanding and he was giving a wrong lesson to Job. Even though we know that God is love, in the following passage, Elihu described how animals protect themselves to survive. He said in chapter 37, verse 8, "The animals go into their lairs and remain in their dens. Even animals have their wise ways of living according to the God-given instincts. For example, frogs and snakes go underground to escape the cold as winter approaches and come back out in spring. Migratory birds fly south to warmer regions before winter and return when it becomes warmer again. Ants diligently work throughout summer and autumn to store food in preparation for winter. Each animal has its own way of surviving and protect their offspring. Some animals dig burrows in the crevices of rocks to escape danger, while others build their shelters beneath rocks for protection. Eagles are well known for building their nests high up and training their offspring to be strong. They push their young out of the nest, forcing them to use their wings, gradually making them stronger. they push their young out of the nest so that their young can learn to fly on its own. You have heard it, right? Through that process, eagles, throughout this process, the eagle constantly watches over its young and it helps them train. I think the shepherd also trained me that way. Looking back, until I became a pastor, until the shepherd right after I took on this position, I think I was not prepared. The shepherd didn't keep me close to him to teach things. I just carry out my role as the president of the pastor association, and I thought the shepherd always taught. When I first preached the sermon, I started from the Wednesday service. They were casting lots and to decide who will preach at the Wednesday service. We chose people, the Wednesday preachers. Every month, we when I was anyway, I became a Wednesday preacher, and one day the shepherd, back then the sermons were recorded in the tape cassette tapes and were sold at the bookstore, and the shepherd listened to those tapes, and if church members received grace, they bought more cassette tapes. Nowadays, things are uploaded on the website. But back at the time, people bought cassette tapes. If they received grace, they had to buy the cassette tapes and listen to them. They bought the tapes. If they received the grace, that's how the preachers were evaluated. The shepherd once called me and said, Pastor Sujin Lee, your sermon was not sold as much as another preacher. I said, yes, I actually emptied myself. The shepherd wanted me to win first place, wanted my sermon tapes to be sold the most, but the shepherd caused us to improve ourselves without ceasing. He was pushing us, and we did a good job. Even after we did a good job, he hardly gave me a compliment. If he gave a compliment, he gave a compliment to other people. And later on, I heard his compliment. From when I was young, as I grew up, the shepherd didn't give me a compliment. He hardly complimented me. That's why I didn't think I was good at something. I didn't think that I was excellent at something. In my childhood, he didn't say to me, "You are pretty, you are doing a good job." He didn't say that to me. Also, my sisters didn't give me a compliment. Each of us lived our own way. That's why I didn't have courage, or I didn't have, but I realized that all things were the shepherd's plan. He wanted us to grow strong. Man's nature, if they receive a compliment, they receive more compliments. We shouldn't seek compliments. Everything in our relationship with Father God, We have to check whether we are doing better. We have to check whether we are bearing fruits. The shepherd trained us to be strong that way. I was very thankful for that. That's why I can carry out my ministry, my duties. Even in the world of animals, animals train their young to be strong by their instinct. I just talked to you about how eagles train their young. The same is true for predators like lions and tigers. A mother lion not only catches prey for their cubs, but also teaches them how to hunt on their own, helping them develop survival skills. The mother stays close to her young and keeps them from danger. She protects them until they mature and become independent. As we can see, even animals protect their lives with God-given instincts and wisdom and diligently train their young to be strong. Through this, we can discover God's providence in creation, and we can learn wisdom from how animals survive. We can learn wisdom from that. Nowadays, parents are so devoted to their children. Their children cannot make their own decisions even after they grow up. They are lacking capability to do that. How are you nurturing your children? Some parents, they are concerned about their children's health and they send prayer requests. You have to think about that. Whether when their children were faithful to God's kingdom, they were healthy. But after they, at some point, they became weak physically because their parents pushed them to study only. They neglected God's duties. They lost faith. This was one of the reasons. Parents have to nurture their children properly, physically and spiritually. Elihu was talking about the natural phenomena, disasters, and the lives of animals to Job. He was explaining them to Job because he was trying to teach wisdom to Job. Chapter 37, verse 9 says, from the south comes the storm, from the north wind the cold. The phrase from the south also appeared in chapter 9, verse 9. It didn't refer to an actual location, but rather reflects Job's perception that the south is warmer, more abundant, and filled with flowers and gentle breezes. It is common knowledge that warm winds come from the south and cold winds from the north. But in the passage, Elihu remarked that the storm came from the south. What did he mean by that? A storm refers to a violent and fierce wind. Here, he didn't mean that a storm originates in the south, but rather that wind begins in the south and spreads elsewhere. For example, typhoons typically form over tropical oceans and move northward, bringing strong winds and heavy rain. As they reach land or travel over colder sea surfaces, they begin to weaken. As the center of a typhoon collapses or the wind strength decreases, it dissipates. Elihu's statement, a storm comes from the south, is based on these phenomena, large storms originating in the south but dissipating as they move northward, and from the north comes the cold, literally means that the north has lower temperatures and thus brings cold winds. He went on to say in chapter chapter 37, verse 10, from the breath of God, ice is made, and the expanse of the water is frozen. This refers to the phenomenon of water freezing when temperatures drop below freezing. As Elihu remarked that water freezes from the breath of God, he was illustrating his power and sovereignty. Elihu also said, ice is made and the expanse of the waters is frozen, which can be understood if you think about how glaciers freeze and melt. When glaciers on land melt, the water flows into the sea, causing sea levels to rise. Currently, this is actually happening due to global warming, with the glaciers in Greenland and Antarctic melting, the sea levels are rising rapidly. Conversely, when glaciers form on land, water is frozen and stays on land, reducing the amount of water flowing into the sea. Elihu described this by saying, ice is made and the expanse of the waters is frozen. Today, because glaciers are melting much faster than they form, the phenomenon of sea levels decreasing is rare. But in Elihu's time, thousands of years ago, it is likely that more glaciers formed on land, leading to lower sea levels. The key point here is why Elihu made such a remark. Throughout chapters 36 and 37, Elihu illustrated God's power and sovereignty through natural phenomena. Why did he do so? While you talk to someone, there are times when they don't understand what you understand. Then you explain again and again with metaphors to help them understand. Similarly, Elihu repeatedly explained using metaphors because Job hadn't figured out his point. At this point, Elihu was so frustrated because Job refused to listen to him and repent. Rather, Job argued that he'd been doing well. That's why Elihu figuratively mentioned natural phenomena and said to him, God is almighty and performs amazing works under his sovereignty. So, how come you resist him? You are being punished for your wrongdoings. Yet, instead of repenting, you are rebelling against God in evil. Elihu continued to use metaphors and involved his own wisdom to explain himself. Chapter 37, verses 11 and 12 reads, he also loads the clouds with moisture. He disperses the cloud with his lightning. It changes direction, turning around by his guidance so that it may do whatever he commands it on the face of the inhabited earth. God transforms water into vapor and lifts it into the sky. As vapor rises and meets cold airs, it condenses into small water droplets, forming clouds. Elihu described this by saying, he loads the clouds with moisture. Clouds move by the wind and bring rain in due time. When we see lightning, we expect rain to follow. Elihu remarked that these natural phenomena occur to fulfill whatever God commands on the face of the earth. In other words, even clouds and lightning are under the control of God's will and fulfill His commands on the earth. Then, what is God fulfilling? He is carrying out the plan of cultivating human beings to gain true children. God created man and allowed them to multiply on this earth so that He will bring those who resemble Him to beautiful heaven and live happily, sharing love with them forever. As we find in Genesis chapter 1, before creating man, God first prepared all the environments for him to live in. For 6 days, he created light, the expanse, the sun, the moon, and the stars, plants, animals, etc. Lastly, he created man according to his image. He set him up as the Lord of all creation and blessed him to conquer and rule over all things. However, since Adam and Eve disobeyed and were cast out of the Garden of Eden, the human cultivation began. Just as a farmer cultivates crops for a harvest, God is cultivating humanity to obtain children of good grains. When God's appointed time arrives, this cultivation is finished. Just as God completed the six-day work of creation and rested on the seventh, after the 6,000-year human cultivation is done, we'll see the Lord's return, which will be followed by the millennium kingdom. Thereafter, God will bring believers of good grains into heaven and cast us of the chaff into the fire of hell. As we can see, God created heaven and earth, made all things operate in an ordinary manner to fulfill the human cultivation. Also, it is for us. Think about this. Because He cultivates human beings, God wants us to live happily on this earth, fear Him, and praise Him. He provided the things necessary for us to live on this earth. It's for all people, but also for each one of us. I hope you'll find God's love in that. Elihu figuratively spoke of all things in nature, and he was trying to point out Job's wrong ideas. As we see God's nature, we feel that God created all these things for us. Elihu then remarked in chapter 37, verse 13, whether for correction or for his earth or for goodness, he causes it to happen. Here, he causes it to happen means that God moves the clouds to either send rain or stop it. If a drought continues, crops fail, and drinking water becomes scarce. Contrarily, excessive rain can cause floods, destroying homes and ships. However, in His mercy, God sometimes sends rain to drought-stricken areas, nourishing the land and allowing crops to grow. Elihu explained that such natural phenomena serve as means of God's punishment or His mercy. For example, the 3.5-year drought in the days of Elijah was the judgment of God for idolatry, and the rain which fell in response to Elijah's prayer afterwards was God's mercy. However, the problem here is that Elihu spoke as if God made use of natural phenomena such as lightning, thunder, and floods in punishing people. He was saying, according to the needs, God, for the sake of punishment, sends natural disaster or change of nature. But this is very rare. God provided the most appropriate environment for human beings. But human beings destroy nature. This is not God punishing people, but Elihu was very mistaken about that. Yet, as mentioned earlier, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, mountains, rivers, and all kinds of vegetation on account of us. He sends the early and latter rains in due season so that all His creation can live according to natural order. Of course, there are rare instances, such as the flood in Noah's time or the drought in Elijah's time, where God used nature as a tool for judgment. But we must keep in mind that natural phenomena are basically for the well-being of mankind and all creation. However, in this passage, Elihu argued that just as God used the clouds for judgment, Job was also being disciplined under God's sovereignty, and therefore had to remain silent. Why then did Elihu say this? At this point, Elihu, Job, and his three friends had reached the peak of their emotions where they couldn't see any good in one another. We have to note, once your feelings are hurt, you don't grasp the situation. If you are upset about your situation, upset about other people's words, if you feel upset, if another person speaks a word to us, we feel more upset. We are overcome by feelings. When this happens, we don't find a solution to our problems. We just feel irritated. It feels like another person is bothering us. Another person is misunderstanding us and harassing us. We become blinded. We don't see anything, like we are wearing some dark black sunglasses. We don't even know we are blinded, and we are frustrated. Our ill feelings in us causes us to misunderstand the situation, causes us to judge others. As I explained now, we don't see any good in another person. We only see what is bad in another person. We even see another person's good points at bad points. We have to apply the message in our daily life. In our life, you may think, that person is hating me, that person is bothering me. Do you have that kind of relationship? If you may have such person, but you need to have the eyes and ears of Jesus, and you need to have the good thoughts and good minds. You don't need to feel bothered by that person. You just find a ways to make peace and make another person feel better, then the problem will be solved. But the problem is not another person hating you. You misunderstand that another person is hating you and gossiping about you, and then you feel estranged. You are estranged and you harbor hatred, develop hatred. Even though another person doesn't have that evil intention, because you start in our relationship with others, once you misunderstand someone, whatever he says is not heard the right way. Another person's words sounds bad, sounds like a gossip, sounds like a your ears, your eyes have to be examined carefully. You just wipe your eyes, you just wipe your ears physically. This is not important. You have to listen in good way, see in good way. This is what is important. Even though another person gossips about you, even though another person says some hurtful words, even though you understand another person's intention, this is not important. But you just don't think another person is hating us, then your relationship will get better. And you try to love that person more, try to compliment that person more. On top of that, but some people don't realize that they are saying hurtful words to others and ruin their relationship. You have to understand another person's position. Try to put yourself in his shoes. Even though another person tries to bother you, you can make peace with him. If you don't have ill feelings, each of them misunderstood in their own thoughts, saw one another as badly evil, and judged Words spoken out of ill feelings are not of goodness, but of evil, only causing ill feelings and discomfort. Elihu and three friends tried to awaken Job, tried to resolve Job's problem, but they couldn't resolve his problems at all because they were judging and condemning Job because their words were based on condemnation. That's why Job couldn't pay attention to their words and God's work was not happening. We have to know that while being overcome by such feelings, we can neither receive God's wisdom nor communicate with Him. We have to communicate with God, and with communication with God, we can realize our evil. Whatever someone says something to us, if we respond evil with evil, we have to realize evil in us. Once we have evil feelings, we don't see the evil in ourselves. Even though the Holy Spirit tries to awaken you, even though the Holy Spirit reminds you that you have, even though the Holy Spirit tries to remind you, you are blinded by your own feelings. You only think about the hurtful words another person spoke to you. That's why you are hindered from hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you are hindered from achieving sanctification. We have to fix ourselves in that areas. In doing so, we can inspire and move others. Therefore, I urge you to advise others with understanding and love under the guidance of the Holy Spirit rather than speaking with a teaching mindset. Brothers and sisters, God the Creator gave wisdom to countless animals, birds, and insects living on earth so they can instinctively avoid danger. But the moth is an exception. They fly into... Have you heard of the moth? The moth, they fly into glowing lights only to be burned to death. Likewise, there are people who ruin their lives by chasing after worldly pleasures and temptation. How foolish and pitiful it would be for human beings who are meant to be the wisest as the Lord of all creation to fall into the path of destruction on their own. Nowadays, I heard that in Korea, drugs are widespread. Even teenagers, even housewives are addicted to drugs, I heard. You should never expose yourselves to those drugs. When someone tries to tempt you, at first they will say things like, it will make you feel better. If you take this, you will see visions, you will feel better, and you will feel stronger. The fatigue will go away. You will feel lighter. Your body will feel lighter. Sometimes someone advised to take the drugs, saying that it is some kind of nourishment, nutrients, and they become addicted. I know that almost none of you are exposed to those drugs, but as you live out in the world, you may feel drowsy, you may feel tired. You shouldn't feel tempted to use those drugs. Instead, you have to receive strength from above, receive spiritual strength from above. If you seek physical things, even though you may feel better, you may feel happier, but the outcome is a problem. You have to discern things especially these of the flesh may give you pleasure, may give you some joy. You may say, it's free to enjoy myself, but spiritually, this is a sin, and the sin results in, causes you to distance from God and leads you to the way of death. Especially these of the flesh leading to death, leads you to death. You should never walk such a way. People left the church and live as they please. And they say, I have no trouble. I have no disaster. Some people say that. Have you ever seen people saying that? Have you ever felt tempted by those words? But judgment will come to every person. And at the judgment, you cannot have regrets. There's no need to regret. You should never, if you pursue those who make themselves sick, destroy their families, and corrupt society in pursuit of fleshly pleasures, have to realize that they are no different from the moth. With true wisdom, we would make our lives most valuable in the truth and bring a positive influence on our neighbors. King Solomon realized that apart from God, all man's toil is in vain. And once God turns his face away, the wealth and glory of this world would all vanish and become completely meaningless. Thus, he exhorted us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years approach when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Therefore, I pray in our Lord's name that all of us won't pursue vain things of this world, but love our Father God who created us and governs all life and death, blessings and curse, and fulfill the whole duty of man.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.